Session number 5395, Susanna Daly, one reel.
Aunt Sue?
I can guess what they are. It seems they loathe. They repeat what you say. But now look here.
Yes?
I don't mind if I know. But there's one lady, I've only one enemy. And I had one enemy that I couldn't bear. And she couldn't bear me. And we fought like I don't know what.
And I won't ask who she was.
Yes, I don't mind. While she was there, fighting her.
Yeah.
And I got the better of her. But when she's dead, leave her alone.
Oh, yes.
Listen, what I wanted to ask you, where were you born then? Were you born into an army background?
I was born in Gort County, Galway, Ireland.
Yes. But Aunt Sue, was that an... did you...
My father was an archdeacon.
Who was he?
Of Clonfert and Kilmacduagh, the west of Ireland.
Yes.
The two big places in Ireland.
Was your father...
He was archdeacon.
He was archdeacon. Did you have any brothers who were soldiers?
I think so. there were ten. There were 11.
Were you really?
Yes. My father would belong to that, and he was the archdeacon there of Kilmacduagh, which was very, very.
How many of your brothers were soldiers?
Monsignor Fahy wrote a book on Kilmacduagh.
Yeah, but how many of your brothers were soldiers?
No, one brother was a soldier.
One
only,
brother.
Only one.
Were any of your family nurses then?
No.
No. So where did you do your nursing training?
We were in a garrison town.
Mm.
And I was a very naughty little girl.
Mm.
And when I was naughty, I said to Father, take me to the soldiers and I'll be good.
Mm.
And Father took me down as a tiny child, pushed me into the barrack room with the soldiers, not the officers, the soldiers.
Yes.
And they were polishing their buttons and they were getting ready and all that.
Yes.
And I went round with them as good as gold.
Yes.
And they all loved me and I loved them and I wasn't...
When did you decide to be a nurse?
I decided to be a nurse when I was very, very young.
Yes.
My eldest brother went into the 5th Northumberland Fusiliers.
Yes.
And in that regiment, a lady, well, she was, I don't know what she was or where she came from, she was Irish.
Mm.
Had enlisted. They took her husband away from her and they dragged him off. Well, you know how they went and they said, I'm going to have you, and they took you away.
How old were you then?
Baby.
A baby.
And they didn't care what they did.
Where did you actually train?
Now, listen to this.
Yes.
They took this man away from his wife and she determined she wasn't going to lose her husband.
You're determined to talk.
And she lived. And what I'm trying to tell you. She lived for 20 years as a man in the 5th Northumberland year, 4 years and was never found out.
Well, I think that's going to be another story.
And she's on the colours of the regiment. It's not a story, it's true.
But I'm trying.
And if you go to Brighton, when she was leaving,
I can't compete with this.
Let him tell me, Elizabeth. She served 20 years and was never found out.
Yes. Well, my dear,
and she went to India with the hope of trying to find her husband.
Can I get a word in edgeways?
Well, I've tried to tell you the story, you won't know it.
I'm trying to find out where you did your training.
I've tried to tell you. It was through that woman I did my training.
But where? Which hospital?
Oh, many hospitals in England.
Where did you start?
I joined up in Hounslow in 1905, and I ended up with the...
What do you mean you joined up? You joined what?
I joined the army.
Yes, but you must have been a nurse before that, weren't you?
I went to University College Hospital
Ah, we've got there. Yeah, you trained at University College.
I wrote to St. Thomas's.
Mm.
That was my choice.
Mm.
I was 2 inches too small.
But what year was that you
and
started
they put
then?
They put me into University College without my having to have an interview. The matron gave me a good character.
What year was that?
1901.
And in 1905, you joined the army.
In 1905, I joined the army.
The army, yes. Yes. And where were you at the beginning of the Second World War, First World War then, sorry?
First World War, I was in, I was in Cossum.
Yes.
I mobilized, and on the 3rd of August, 1914, I was in France, and I never left France in 1920.
You mean you were there 6 years?
I was there the whole of the war.
Whole of the, and you never came home on leave?
I came home for two weeks. Only.
The whole of that
I
time?
I stayed the whole of that time.
What rank were you at the beginning of the war?
I wouldn't leave my soldiers.
No, I'm sure you wouldn't.
You could go and you could have your holiday.
Mm.
And I think my holiday then, because I was sister, would be about 5 weeks. I never took it. I went home for 1 week, the 1st of the 14th of September, to see my people, say, how do you do, and goodbye, and I never went back.
Yeah. What rank were you at the beginning of the war?
At the beginning, theatre sister.
At the beginning of the war?
I went to Aldershot, where they'd never had a theatre sister.
Yes.
And they wouldn't, the two sisters who were trained for theatre wouldn't work with the surgeon.
Mm.
They said that he was bad-tempered.
Tell me, but let me come back, because I'm very interested. You sailed for France right at the beginning, August 1914.
I was there the whole time, from 1940 to 1920.
What was your first experience of warfare, then?
I think you'd rather not know. I saw some terrible things.
Now, I want you to tell me the first thing that happened.
We were in danger of our lives.
Yeah, but when you arrived in France, you went up to the front, did you?
Yes.
And tell me about that.
Well, of course, the men were in the trenches, and we were not in the trenches. We were here, there, and everywhere, moved about. We were pushed back by the hordes of Germans, and we were only 300. And our small body of nurses stood up as best we could. We were poured back, and a lot of us were killed, and we were in the danger zone. And
this was the first German push, was it? You're talking
first
about
German push with them. They mowed them down. The only word is they mowed them down.
Who mowed who down?
And I was there for Mons, and I went in after Mons to see if I knew any of the men. And they said, sister, they mowed us down, they mowed us down. And they were all off their heads, simply that they were mowed down, and we saw that in front of our eyes.
Yes. Tell me about some
and
of the wounded.
Some of the sisters were mowed down. I was in the 3rd Army, Allenby's Army.
Mm.
And I was made principal matron of that army, eventually.
Yeah, but you've gone ahead, my dear, because I'm so interested in this first contact you had with war.
Well, that's the first contact
with
war. I was theatre sister, and I went up to principal matron.
Yes. Where?
But that didn't last. The very minute the war ended, I was theatre sister again. We didn't
keep all right. Yes, but we mustn't go so far.
Yes.
Tell me. What kind of conditions were you working in at the beginning of the war, Mons and so forth, when you were looking after these wounded boys?
I was with 43 General Hospital.
Yes.
And
how did you work? What happened?
I worked in the hospital under the matron and everybody like anybody else.
Tell me about it. What sort of wounded? What sort of conditions?
I couldn't tell you the conditions.
Were you in tents?
They were too terrible. We were in tents half the time.
Well, don't spare me. Tell me in detail.
The tents were horrible.
Yeah, but tell me the sort of work you were doing in detail. You say it's horrible, but...
Well,
you know.
you were undressing and trying to cure people. If I tell you that a man had his head chopped halfway down and all his shoulders chopped and all his back chopped and all his heels chopped, and I had to put him lying on his face to nurse him.
Mm.
And when he turned round, I said, am I hurting you?
Mm.
And he said, no, I don't feel you. Well, I felt that was bad.
Mm.
And I said to the doctor, he doesn't feel me.
Mm.
And he said, no, the nerves are all gone.
Mm.
That kind of thing. Men cut to pieces.
Mm.
Men came down laughing and joking and saying a word with you, saying goodbye to you. And that's the worst part. Off up the line. And the next day that man came down with no eyes.
Mm.
Blown out.
Mm.
I don't want to see him all again.
Mm. Were you in personal danger yourself, Aunt
Yes,
Sue?
The whole time.
What's the nearest to death you came?
And lots of nurses were killed.
What's the nearest to death you came? What's the nearest to death which you came? How near to death were you sometimes? Were you ever bombed or anything like that?
What do you mean?
No. You personally, as a nurse...
Yes.
You were exposed to danger.
Of course.
What's the nearest to death which you came?
Well, they all robbed me.
Yes, but were you nearly killed at any time? You personally...
Oh, yes, I could have been killed every day.
Tell me about your nearest escape.
I had the luck of old Nick. I was in the 3rd Army, and the 5th Army were beyond me.
Mm.
Now, we did a clever thing round the hospitals, round the huts that we had for hospitals. We built up Rebetti. We built up wide grass. Well, we didn't do it. We got the prisoners, German prisoners, to do it. And we put big, tall flowers with very big, wild French flowers that grew like weeds on top of that. And we hid the huts with that. And the Germans thought it was a garden and they never put a bomb on one of our huts.
Were other huts bombed?
But they hadn't time to do that in the 5th Army. There were more to pieces, sisters and all killed.
Sisters were killed?
And the sisters in the army here came the other day to ask me, one of them, who was there next to me, an Irish girl. And I've written her name in a book in case I forget it, which I had there. And they were killed in front of our eyes. The Germans just blew them down on the path anywhere when they went to work.
What, that was artillery, was it?
I don't know what the Germans
were. Was it bombs or artillery or what?
We had bombs all day. We had shells all day. We had bombs all night. And I was in that, living in it.
Yes. You were in a train, weren't you? It's brought the wounded down.
On the 15th of January, I was put on a train to go up and bring the wounded down to the base.
Which year?
1901.
No. During the war, not 1901, my dear.
I say the wrong date to them.
Yeah. The war was 1914 to 1918. Generally,
1915 January.
You were in a train.
1915 June, I had a train, and we had to walk on the outside.
Which front was this?
And people won't believe me. Well, I wouldn't let my staff do it, but I did it. I didn't walk the full length of the train, but I walked to the officers and to the carriages near me, with the train going. But the train didn't rush. It went to kind of ambly. Sometimes it shook like that, and you held on to the bar and you walked along the footboard, and there was no through carriages. We couldn't take any officer stretchers. We took patients on in the wagons. And number 4 ambulance train, I have a photograph of it. Number 4 ambulance train was my train.
Yes.
And we had a lovely colonel, and we had...
Yeah. What were the wounded soldiers like? Were they good or patients or?
I adore the soldier.
Tell me about them.
The soldier was one of the nicest people I've ever known in my life. I'd lived with them as children, and I never all the drunken soldiers that it is not true. The civilians are just as drunk as any soldier.
Yeah. But what kind of wounded men were they? Were they good patients?
Oh my God, what they suffered!
Tell me about it.
Well, of course. You didn't know whether they were looking after you. They were always doing this for you, that for you, the other for you, the other thing for you. Never thinking of themselves at all. Thoroughly and entirely unselfish. I've never met anything like the soldier. And until they were all disbanded and disappeared the other day, I kept up with them. And when I was in the war, I was very, very touched. Because I was in a place called Freyvong, which was 30 miles from Arras. Arras was blown to bits, and the Germans were swooping down on it. One of the soldiers heard that Miss Daly was in Freyvong, and he said, I wonder if that's the lady we knew in England, the 5th City of London Regiment.
Don't worry, Elizabeth. And, you can find these treasures later. And he looked you up, at any rate. He remembered you and looked you up.
He never told a soul. He got up at dawn, and he walked the 30 miles. And he had the 30 miles to walk back, just to see if it was the person that they had had at home. And he'd had an operation. And they made such a fuss about what was done for them. An awful fuss of what was
done. But did a lot of these wounded soldiers die whilst you were transporting them back?
Thousands.
Yes.
We had all bombs.
Yes.
We had all bombs.
Could you do much for them?
Well, I was theatre sister. And I had them in the theatre. And I didn't have them in the wards. But I went into a ward and you went down like that. You went along the ward like that and you went out the ward like this. There must have been thousands there after bombs. And it wasn't my ward. It was Miss Roy's ward. She's just died now. She's been in the war office.
But what could you do for so many?
Well, you must pick out.
How did you choose?
I went down to where the men were brought in, the stretchers on the floor, and I walked round the stretchers on the floor and I picked my men.
How did you do that, Aunt Sue?
I walked.
Yeah, but how did you judge who was worth picking and who wasn't?
Well, couldn't you see a man, deadly pale, hemorrhaging like the very devil, pouring with hemorrhage?
You would leave him, would you, as hopeless?
I would stop his hemorrhage.
You'd try and stop his hemorrhage?
Well, you can.
Yes, yes.
You can do a lot of things.
Yes.
And when I've been held up with bad hemorrhage, I have put cradles over the bed, I've tied...
I tied
nine little bags of ice over the cradle and I got the abdomen to stop hemorrhaging.
Did you lose a lot of abdominal cases? Did you lose a lot of abdominal cases?
No, we lost...
Which sort of cases were very bad?
I was taken to meet the Queen of the Belgians. And the Queen of the Belgians told me that we lost the least of all the people.
Yep.
But which sort
of cases were the most difficult from your point of view? The most hopeless, would you say?
Well, I really don't sort of what was the most hopeless. We moved about so much.
Yes.
We were pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Didn't you stop and wonder what the point of it all was?
I went down when I was in Freiburg. I had an office. And I went down when the men were brought in. And I looked round the stretchers. And there was one boy with a terribly pale face, white as marble.
Yes.
And I had a look at him and I saw he was hemorrhaging badly.
Yes.
And I took him out. I was just walking round. They were putting him to bed. And they hadn't come to put him to bed yet. I took him. I stopped his hemorrhage, as they say. And I did everything I could do for him. That man came to me only a few years ago. He found me.
That's marvellous, Aunt Sue, marvellous.
He told the War Office.
Yes.
He'd been 50 years, and he'd stay 100. Looking for the person that came down and saved his life.
And he found you.
And, well...
What was his name? Do you remember? No, next time we talk.
Yeah, I do. I know his name well, but I can't remember
all
his
name. No, it doesn't matter, Aunt Sue.
But anyhow...
You don't mean Lane?
Anyhow,
no.
If it took me, I get lost.
Yeah, but Aunt Sue... Didn't you stop and wonder whether mankind hadn't gone mad in the middle of all this?
I thought it was a...
What did you think about it all?
I thought it was savagery, not Christianity. That this was savagery, and that we all should get together and say we're not fighting.
Yes.
Germans and everybody else. I was very fond of the Germans. I mean, we had no enemies.
Did you have wounded Germans to look after, too?
Thousands, millions.
What sort of patients were they?
Well, I was very fond of them.
Yes. Was there any difference between them and the English boys?
Oh, The English boys were your own boys, and you knew them, and they, I don't know, they were very young. And, you know, these boys used to come up from farms and places, and they'd come into the army, and they would never talk to the officer. They would always, they said, when we're at home, we always go to our mother, we don't go to our father.
Yes.
And they'd come to us and treat us like mothers to them.
But you were saying that it was a mad way for Christians to go on.
Oh, I thought, I couldn't understand any human beings.
But did you feel very patriotic at the time? And,
no.
You didn't? You just thought the whole world had gone mad, did you?
No.
Yes.
The Queen of the Belgians, when I was presented to her, said to me, are you walking with a very high head? And I said, why should we? No. Why? She said, because you were the only imperial service in the world. And she said, you ought to be very proud. Because when you're all gone away, everybody will copy you. And they did. They had no sisters for soldiers anywhere except England. Except England, the British Isles.
And but what about this business of war, though? I mean, what message would you have for this present generation?
I would have little good get-together and beat down the old and refuse to have war. And I'll go with them if they like, and I'll head it if they like. I have no fear. I'm not a bit nervous, and I have no fear that I'll go into any war, even in my old age. And I'll head it if they like and take be the first one to chance being shot down. I have absolutely no fear. My father had no fear, and I have no fear.
But why do you think the English and German soldiers went through this madness then?
They didn't. It was the heads. It was the blasted Kaiser and his people. Nothing to do with the people. None of the German people wanted war. And none of the French wanted war, and none of the Belgians wanted war. The people didn't want it. We didn't want it. The heads do it, and we must beat the heads. We must go against them, if necessary. There must be no war, people killing and murdering each other like that. I'm all against it.
Well, you should and know, Aunt Sue.
And if they wanted anybody to walk in and take a chance of being shot down, I'll go and do it for them. And I have the slightest fear.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me.
I could tell you.
Yes.
I could tell you a lot of things.
Yes.
But the soldier to walk 60 miles.
Yes.
60 miles without a bite of food, covered in dust and filth.
Yes.
Well, of course, I didn't let him do that.
Yes.
I went up to the railway transport officer, and I said that the soldier half dead. And I said, can I have a train to get him back to his unit? He's prepared to walk back the 30 miles and he's got to be on parade in the morning. And then he was a great, great friend of mine. And we used to talk about a small engine he had as my bicycle. Because the powers that be might say you shouldn't have an engine. So we talked about it as a bicycle. And I said, could you let me have my bicycle? And two men to man it. For me to get this man back. And they did that for me, and all my soldiers came down, four at a time, every Sunday to see me.
Isn't that lovely?
And they went back on my bicycle.
I think you're marvellous. Yes, look, there's a marvellous... What's
something.
That?
That's one of the very nice generals, Sir Harry Thompson. He was known as Beauty Thompson. He was the last general I had in headquarters office in Cologne.
He was in the RAMC, was he?
In the RAMC.
Yes, yes.
One of the top people. And he gave me that before he went away.
Did he? And this picture of the angel and the wounded man and the nurse, all the nurses got that, did they, at the end of the war?
No.
That's very beautiful.
I went to Queen Alexandria to get my Royal Red Cross, to show her my Royal Red Cross.
Oh, yes.
King George V pinned it all.
Yes.
And then I went to Queen Alexandria to show it to her.
And what's this photograph of the Daly Boys? That's your name.
When I took Freyvong...
All in pantomime dress with these funny hats on.
When I took Freyvong, it was a big hospital. And there were no amusements for the men. And the boys... got very little time off. But if they got an hour off, there was nothing to do. And they went out And they went to an establishment. And they asked for a glass of beer. There was no beer. They were given cognac. And they came back drunk. There was the most awful row. They were tied to the posts, their hands behind their back all day. Field punishment for that in wartime. I said to the colonel, I want all these men paraded at my office in the morning. Every man, jack of them. And I had them all. And I said, now, what amusements could I get up here that you don't have to leave the camp? That you have amusements here that you haven't got to go out to any estaminet. And they said, oh, if we could have peer, old troop. And one of those singers was a beautiful tenor singer. And I picked out all the talent, and I got this. We had our own, they went round, you know, from one unit to another giving shows. And we got up plays and all sorts of things. And I had to get an officer to take them round because I couldn't go far away with them. I couldn't leave the hospital, you see. And so this officer, he was a nice...
So really, what you're telling me is that in addition to all your duties...
He was a nice specialist.
In addition to all your duties as a nursing sister, you organised entertainment as well.
I had a lot of funny duties.
Did you lose a lot of those men killed? In the war?
Yes.
How many of them survived, would you say?
Oh, 600 would come down the train at a time.
Yes.
All very pretty well gone.
Yeah.
They were wiped out.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Aunt
Sue. But we were all in danger.
Yes.
But the ones who are nervous, the nervous people, are the ones to be praised. There's no praise for me, for I never felt the least bit nervous. I'm not nervous.
Yes.
And I'll go tomorrow and I'll face anything.
God bless.
No, my father was...